Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim. And as a reminder to your listeners, I do publish VRTrader.com, but I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice. If you're interested in my VR indicator, though, this is a bit of a promotion for my indicator. I publish it on a platform called MetaStock and have for about 20 years. So if you want to see my VR indicator at work, you'd have to go to MetaStock and sign up, and you can actually see the technical tool that I work with at VR Trader. I haven't mentioned that too often, but some have asked, how do I access your technical work?
Mark, do you have a special offer for our listeners?
We do at VRTrader.com. If you go to the order page for whichever newsletter you select, I sort of recommend the Platinum letter because it covers just about everything. You enter the promo code 2022 half off, just as it sounds, 2022 half HALF off, and you get a 50% discount on any subscription.
The Biden administration says the U.S. is not in recession, even though there have been two negative growth quarters. Can we believe anything that comes out of the White House?
Well, you can't really believe any of the economic reporting from day one. I mean, this gets back to the whole issue of believing what the Federal Reserve does and doesn't do, or what economic reports. I mean, if my understanding is correct, you know, your economic inflation numbers exclude oil, energy, and food. So, you know, it's a fallacious indicator anyway when you start talking about inflation, and then you start talking about economic growth or GDP. You just wonder how all these numbers have been calculated, so I really don't trust them. I mean, the only thing you can really trust is your own work and what the markets are doing, because the markets are really an expression of just about everything that's happening out there. And if you see, you know, positives in the market, that sort of tells you what's going on versus what's not going on. So recently the market's been acting better. And, you know, perhaps it's just manipulation on the part of the plunge protection team, or the reality is that things aren't really as bad as the news is telling us, and which could be the case, you know. But, you know, we sort of make our living, you know, watching and trading the markets. So we live sort of in this false reality because everything can go to hell and we could be short the market and make money all the way down when everyone else who's long the market is not doing so well. So, but you're watching the tape and the market action itself is better than any leading indicator or any you know, statement, including the one you just made about the two consecutive quarters confirming a recession in the market. You know, we know for a lot of people things haven't been doing so well, but by the same token, you know, we've had COVID and we got the war in Europe, and you've got China and U.S. Saber rattling each other. So there are other factors out there that worry in the market, I think, me more than whether the market's got the two quarters of slower growth. So we'll see how it all plays out. But how does that put money in your pocket is really what it comes down to. Yeah. How are you playing that? Have you been short the market? Have you got long the market, for example? One of the indicators we've used, you know, many technical and cyclical tools, you know, the market bottomed on June 17th and has been pretty much zigzagging its way higher since, which by coincidence was within 3 days of the summer solstice. And we had pointed out for a long time that that could be a change of direction in the market. So we've been experiencing a nice healthy, I think about a 10% rally since those lows. So if you've been, you know, sort of playing the long side, the economic two quarters theory doesn't really mean anything to you, I suppose.
The big question for a lot of people is, the summer bear rally. How long does it last? And is September or late August going to be dreadful times for people planning on a stock market that's going up?
Right. Well, cyclically, we're due for September, October retracement. You know, there's a lot of political forces at work. I guess I like to use the word manipulation, but, you know, Biden going to Saudi Arabia, trying to get crude oil prices down so that they would look a little bit better, you know, and it's all a political move, among other things, in terms of, you know, playing for the November election and so forth. So, but the true cyclical pattern would say a summer rally into sometime here in August, and then a pull down into the September-October period, which is traditional. So are they going to pull some marionette strings somewhere to keep the market up so that, you know, the election goes better for the Democrats in November? I mean, anything is possible, that September-October won't be as bad as it could be traditionally because it's an election year. So you got to sort of watch the tape. But, you know, right now we seem to be in a little bull move. And if you want to get into the technicals, you know, we're looking at the charts, and there's like a double, very short term, this is since the June lows, is what's called a potential double top formation forming here, where the Dow hit a certain level, pulled back, and now it's come back to that level. And there's an old expression, technically, when you see a double top, you sell it. So we're sort of at this resistance level now, so we'll see if we can go through it. And you know, and a lot of it has to do with how much crude oil continues to retrace, which it's been doing, for example, you know, whether the U.S. dollar pulls back a little bit more as it's been, you know, way overbought. So, you know, just sort of watch the tape here. You know, it sort of could go either way. You know, we've already had a big rally. So my gut feeling and putting history together is, you know, maybe we rally a little bit further into, you know, the middle, the third week of August, and then we start a sell-off. But usually you get a nice technical sell signal when that occurs. So it's a good time, you know, not to be fully invested because it can go either way from here because we rallied, sold off, and come back to that other point technically. So I'm cautious here, and I sort of agree with your general statement about the September-October phenomenon right now. But let's see how the market trades the next few days. But a lot has to do with, as I mentioned a moment ago, with what's going on with crude oil. That comes down, that encourages the you know, disinflation scenario and gets people more excited about buying the market. I'm actually long an inverse ETF for crude oil, thinking it could pull back here a little bit more. So if it does, that probably is ammunition for the stock market.
Now, why did President Biden have to travel off and fist pump the leader of a murderous regime when all he had to do was ask Alberta to increase its flow of oil to the U.S. at a discounted price, by the way? Oh, yeah, I just remembered the first thing he did in office was cancel the XL pipeline that would have brought that cheaper Alberta crude to U.S. markets.
Well, if I called him a traitor or something like that, people would just think I'm a nutcase.
Let's call him misguided. Let's call him misguided or misinformed.
Okay. But that's how I sort of feel. I mean,
yeah.
He's not for the United States or for Canada, that's for sure. You can transition to alternate energy without just, you know, slitting the throat of the oil industry. You know, you can go through a slow transition, and you know, it's you know, it's obviously misguided as a more politically you know, clear statement or appropriate statement. So, yeah, there was no logic for it whatsoever. Why put the populace at a disadvantage and drive prices higher, help spark greater inflation? You know, the smart thing to do is to give people incentives to switch to electric vehicles, but you also need to have the infrastructure to charge those vehicles, and it's could be a multi-decade transition, not just a multi-year transition as they're hoping for. You know, where's all the energy? Look what Germany is going through right now, having, you know, closed down and prevented any future nuclear plants from being built, and now they're using coal, and they're warning people how to protect themselves in the upcoming winter because things could get pretty rough if we do an energy slowdown. So this is a long-term plan. Start building more nuclear plants. It takes about 10 years, I believe, for a plant to get built, and then from that point on, then you sort of build the transition in with it at the same time.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, you would think that the price of gold would be skyrocketing right now with the world in so much conflict in so many places, especially Russia invading Ukraine. Why hasn't gold taken off?
We could spend a lot of time talking about manipulation in the gold market and suppression of gold prices, and I'm not the expert in that, but as I've mentioned in previous interviews, Bill Murphy over at GATA.org, that's G-A-T.org, he's doing a 20-30-year study of all the factual and anecdotal events surrounding the manipulation and suppression of gold prices, including what goes on in the futures market and so forth. So the main reason gold has done poorly over the last several decades is because it's being suppressed by governments around the world, including our own. And for, you know, obvious reasons, gold does well. It makes the government look bad, makes the currency look bad. It all started, back when Roosevelt demanded everybody turn in their gold back in the 1930s, and then, of course, when Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, that sort of changed the scenario, and, you know, and I think Lyndon Johnson, the U.S. president, was involved with silver and, you know, controlling the amount of silver that was available. I don't have the exact details, but I remember reading that a few years ago, so there's lots of shenanigans going on in the market. And there's also a big disparity between what the prices of gold and silver trade for on the stock market in terms of their ETF prices and the actual gold that you see in the actual market, which is at a considerably different price. I mean, you know, silver, for example, you can buy a stock that's trading that for the equivalent of silver, let's say at $18, $19 an ounce, but go out and try to buy some physical silver, and you'll find out you got to pay $30, $33 an ounce for the same silver that the stock market is telling you it should only be priced at $20, and that's because the actual physical silver and gold out there is vastly different than what the futures market is telling you about or what the stock market is telling you about. So, you know, there's that whole discussion as well, unrelated to the manipulation of the prices, where, you know, the bad players, I guess, who we're talking about, hit bids on the futures market and try to drive prices down, and supposedly that's supported by government activity, even though there's no physical gold or silver behind the sale of those futures contracts. Apparently it's done because they have deep pockets and can continue to do it. So that's been really the overall problem, and at some point, I don't know, it should change. There's been, you know, criminal charges against traders at some of the major U.S. banks, and without going into a lot of detail, I've outlined that in my newsletter, where it's you could actually Google it and see that, you know, they were charged for manipulating these markets, and the suits were successful against them, yet the manipulation continues. So it's not a free market, I guess, is the bottom line with regard to gold and silver, and at one point maybe it'll become a free market, but then you could argue even the stock market is manipulated to a certain or great extent, depending how cynical you are. So that's, a lot of stories we can talk about that prior to COVID, a lot of smart money was out there saying something big is coming, there might be a virus, or there might be some type of biological attack, and so there are a lot of supposed selling occurring before early part of 2020 by knowledgeable people who knew something was happening, and there was also stories about key executives here in the U.S. and around the world that resigned positions in 2019 that warned that something was coming, and that you got to prepare yourself and liquidate your positions and so forth. So we can get into all kinds of, use the word conspiracy theory, but it really isn't conspiracy theory. It's just not very, it's not discussed or reported as clearly as it should be. That's really the problem. But, I went roundabout here. Meanwhile, short term, the dollar has been pulling off here a little bit, which has been helping gold and silver. So on a very short term seasonal basis, you're getting a little technical rally here, and hopefully, it does continue, but a lot is contingent on A, the manipulation aspect, and B, the continued weakness in the dollar, if that's to support that. The day comes, listen, the dollar is a key factor, but we know over time, you know, gold and silver could do its own thing regardless of the currency. We know it's tied inversely to the currency, but there have been times where they do trade in tandem. So one day that's going to happen, and I guess the reins will be broken loose, and they'll trade as free markets. I mean, gold should be $5,000 or $10,000 an ounce already. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's way underpriced compared to the inflation that we've seen and so forth. So we'll just have to take it a day at a time and trade it. We're long the gold and silver here on a trade in our letter. It had been for a period of time, and let's see if we get some follow through.
Mark, we also like to talk geocosmics, and people wonder, what the hell does the Earth's orbit or solar flares have to do with money? But, of course, if the volcanic eruptions are big enough, that means you get a nuclear winter, as they say, because of the cloud cover, and you don't get crops. That boosts the price of food. It means food shortages. We had a Chandler wobble in the Earth's orbit. We spun a little faster. We have more volcanic activity. Are all these things that you keep an eye on, how are they going to affect our pocketbooks?
Well, they could affect us in a very big way. We have an Icelandic eruption underway now. It's in the, I don't know if I can pronounce it, the Reykjanes Peninsula in Iceland. And there's actually about five or six volcanoes around the world that are active now. And, you know, I refer back to the story we mentioned in a previous discussion about the year 536, which historians claim may have been one of the worst years to have been alive on this planet because of, an Icelandic volcano that went off, and, all the clouds and all the debris and whatever, you know, filtered over to Europe, and it ended up creating plagues in Europe in terms of, you know, lack of fresh air. The sky was, you know, covered over. So it was basically some medieval historians have come back and just said if you're alive in that year between 536 and, you know, 540, it was like the Black Death had wiped half of Europe out, and a lot of it was attributed to the volcanic activity. And this could be happening again at any time. And you know, we've got Mount Baker up by you in the Vancouver. You got Mount Fuji, Mount Stromboli, which is always active over off of Italy. You got Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. Of course, you got Kilauea and Mauna Loa out in Hawaii, Mount Hood in Portland. And, of course, the big super story is the super volcano in Yellowstone, which has been written up and could be 10,000 or a million years till it happens. But if that blows, it could wipe out a good part of the planet in terms of, you know, creating debris and slowing, growth of crops and so forth. So, it's important to look at it. I mean, I look at other stuff. I mean, the market bottomed, as I mentioned earlier in the interview, on June 17th, 3 days from the summer solstice, and we had talked about these key change points in the market. And, of course, the solar flares you had talked about. In fact, there's a huge solar prominence occurring on the sun right now. Seems to have any direct effect on the Earth, but it's spectacular when you look at. So there's a lot of stuff out there, and then, you know, we pay attention to it because, I've seen correlations between seasonality, you know, volcanic activity, earthquakes on the planet, and, you know, it's not all related to corporate earnings and the Federal Reserve. There are a lot of other things that can move the markets and will.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Find us on YouTube at Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.